The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury.
We have never lived a moment like this in America before, ever. Tonight, a third article of impeachment served to the Senate against Donald Trump. This ceremony, the handing over of the impeachment, just a year from the last article walkover by House managers, all of this done in context. We must remember what brought us to this point. We must remember what happened on January 6th. It must live in infamy. And it makes this walk all the more solemn and sorrowful. And also in infamy, must love the only president who undoubtedly helped bring us to this point, the only to ever have a double disgrace of two impeachments attached to his name forever. You know, watching it, the walk, it felt very different tonight. There's a sense of trauma. This is a sacred place they're in. And yet it is now a crime scene.
Wow. And we thought journalism was dead. That is some riveting journalism on display. That's last night, Chris Cuomo at CNN. The sense of trauma, as he said. The crime scene. This is yet another sham impeachment. And it's almost as if these Democrats, these activists, I should say, in the media, it's almost as if they know that Donald Trump is the legitimate president. There have been quite a few commentators that have talked about how this effort and Chief Justice Roberts, he's recused himself. He doesn't even want to be a part of it. Because he says it's unconstitutional. So they've got a radical Democrat who's going to be presiding over this sham impeachment. Yet another one. In any event, there have been those that have said, well, this is to prevent Donald Trump from running for president again in 4 years. But I would submit to you that this effort, really, there's a spirit behind it, too. So we know. We know what the devil's interested in doing. They see Donald Trump as the legitimate president. They know he won in a landslide. And so this is all part of their ongoing effort to delegitimize him, to try to convince you that he should be blotted out. His presidency, his life, in fact. Just blot it out entirely. Keep going after him. And so they press forward with yet another sham impeachment because they know deep, deep down in their heart of hearts, they know that Joe Biden is illegitimate and they're trying to prop him up. You heard the clips that I played for you yesterday. These reporters that are just badgering Republicans. Well, why won't you admit it? Why won't you say it wasn't stolen? What's the problem? You've got Biden in the White House right now. Everything should be just great as far as you're concerned. But they can't stand the fact that people know they're lying and they're stealing. They know they've been exposed. And they hate the fact. They hate the fact that a majority of Americans, they know what's going on. They see it. They see it. Plain as day. Listen to the one of the impeachment managers trying to understand and grasp this, if you can. This is their reasoning. This is their justification for the impeachment. And you'll notice that there's nothing in this about the Constitution or about, well, we're just following the law. Listen to her ramble on about why they're going forward with this against a private citizen now. He's not in the White House, Donald Trump. Here she is, clip three.
You can't just say, okay, if you're president, you can just do anything you want the last few weeks of your presidency with no consequence, because then you couldn't be tried. That's not a good result. And of course, the most telling example that you could see is what just happened, mm-hmm. where you have a president who incites a crowd to go and try to stop the certification of a legitimate election. You can't just say, oh, well, now you left office, so no harm, no foul. That's not the way it works.
That's not the way it works. You can't just do that, she said. This is their reasoning for the impeachment going through the Senate. You just can't do this. And so we've got to go forward. The precedent, according to her, the precedent is clear. They've got to impeach him or convict him. They're hoping for that. They're hoping they can get enough votes in the Senate for a conviction, which would mean what? Well, I guess that would be up for debate then. There was a report yesterday. I don't know if it's true, but there were Republicans that said they wanted to have sort of a secret vote so that they could go ahead and vote to convict, but then not get punished in the midterm elections coming up in a couple of years. So many weak, weak Republicans, if that's true, that they would want to cast their vote in secret so that you can get rid of the bad orange man, get rid of him, and make sure that you can still survive yourself politically. It's pretty amazing what's going on. Here's Eric Swalwell. He too is part of this impeachment team, and he's explaining here why they have to go after Donald Trump, even now that he's out of office for a short time, as they know. Here's clip four.
Because Donald Trump, we know, will do this again, has such a disdain for democracy and a disdain for public safety, we can't afford as a country to give him a chance to even come close to doing this again.
We cannot afford as a country to give him the chance to do this again. That's Eric Swalwell, who was literally in bed with the Communist Chinese Party. He was exposed as having been compromised by a Chinese spy just a few years ago. And he's leading the impeachment effort, or he's certainly one of them. January 6th. That's the new Pearl Harbor in the minds of these radical Democrats. That's Pearl Harbor. That's 9/11. What happened on January the 6th? I mentioned the story that was in the New York Times yesterday and the one featured today. Watchdog to examine whether the Justice Department helped Trump effort to overturn the election. It's Donald Trump, supposedly, who's tried to overturn the election. After they've done this for years, 4 years of trying to overturn 2016, then they successfully did it. They stole it. They completed the steal last Wednesday. And here's the New York Times going on and on about how supposedly it's the Trump campaign trying to reverse things. Listen to, at least there was one journalist who did ask him about his connections to this Chinese spy, Fang Fang, from just a few years ago. And here's Swalwell's response, clip five.
Yes, and this was a 2015 meeting about a person that I had as a volunteer back in 2012 on the campaign. The FBI has said that I did nothing wrong. Don't take it from me. There was no wrongdoing. I've learned nothing new. And Speaker Pelosi has said that she's keeping me on the committee. And by the way, Jake, Republicans were briefed on this conduct that this individual was trying to do with me and many other members of Congress back in 2015. I think this is retaliation more than anything else.
So he hasn't really learned anything from it. And it's just a retaliation from the Republicans, evidently. The fact that he was in bed with a spy, a communist spy, and there's nothing to take away from it. There's nothing to learn. Nothing to learn here. All that you need to know is that we cannot afford as a country to give another chance to Donald Trump. He's that dangerous. So here are the Democrats carrying on with impeachment 2.0. The Chief Justice, as I say, he's stepped out of this. because it says in the Constitution directly that here's what you set up as an impeachment proceeding when the president is guilty. When the president, he's not president now. So even Chief Justice Roberts doesn't want any part of this. Another attack from the radical left in the name of unity. They need to do this to bring the country together, to heal the division in the country. Here's Joe Biden yesterday, the fake president, talking about unity, one of his favorite subjects now. And yet look at, as I said yesterday, look at the actions. Here's clip six.
Unity requires you to take away, eliminate the vitriol. Make anything that you disagree with about the other person's personality or their lack of integrity or they're not decent legislators and the like. So we have to get rid of that.
We have to get rid of that even as they try to impeach Donald Trump. For what? For what? For a so-called insurrection that was planned before January 6th? Before the speech that he gave on the 6th? The FBI has since acknowledged unity, and yet look at the actions. What is it now? I think 19 executive actions, executive orders in the first 3 days. Obama, I believe, had five. President Trump had one. I think George W. Bush had zero. So where are the real authoritarians, the real tyrants? Supposedly, if you listen to the radical left, we just got rid of one. Even as Joe Biden is signing executive orders that, to be fair, he's not even reading. He doesn't even know what he's signing. He's just there firing off one signature after another. Who's putting those executive orders in front of him? Who's preparing that? Well, we've talked so often before about the puppet master, the Antiochus administration, and you've heard the montage a dozen times. My father had a trumpet brief yesterday. Why I still believe Donald Trump is coming back. He went through, again, these prophecies in Amos 7, 2 Kings 14, things that you're very familiar with. He talked about, look, okay, so I made a mistake with the timing back at that article from 2 months ago, but let's let this play out. Let's see if you want to focus in on the word remain. Okay, but let's see how that this plays out over the long haul. And let's see how Amos 7 is fulfilled over the long haul. And furthermore, how does God view this? What is God's view of what happened on November the 3rd? What is God's view? I touched on this yesterday with respect to fake leaders, fake kings, even from ancient Israel's history. Individuals that appointed themselves, like Adonijah and Absalom as well, Ishbosheth. There's plenty of examples like that in the Bible. My father said this in the trumpet brief. You can read this passage and see how it looks like one flowing event. He's talking about Amos 7. There's no hint of a gap or a pause in Jeroboam's reign, so you can see why I wrote the article as I did. It all looks like it's Jeroboam's timeline. It says this is clearly a prophecy of the very end for this nation, and Jeroboam is in power. It has not yet been fulfilled. So based on this prophecy alone, we can be sure that God is going to give Donald Trump that office of presidency of the U.S. sooner or later. Supposing it does go on for another 4 years, it's hard, as he explains in the trumpet brief, it's hard to even imagine that happening, given what the radical left has done in less than a week. It's hard to see how that continues for 4 full years. So how that this plays out in the short term, and my father still feels like it'll be in the short term, that it flips, that it reverts back to what it was before November 3rd, or rather before January the 20th. Further on, he says, somebody's trying to blot out the very name of Israel. Here he's referring to that prophecy in 2 Kings 14. Somebody's trying to blot out the name of Israel. This is someone motivated by the devil who hates God and works continually to try to undermine and subvert everything God does. It says the devil has successfully used the radical left to destroy America, the superpower of end-time Israel. But God intervened and stopped him temporarily by the hand of President Trump. That has enraged them all the more. They have committed multiple treasonous acts trying to ruin President Trump. And like I said earlier, it continues with impeachment 2.0. It says ceaseless condemnation, spying, and a baseless three-year criminal investigation, impeachment. These attacks were all based on grotesque lies, and they knew it. That is diabolical evil. So he goes on to talk about, again, the fact that there's no hint of a gap in Jeroboam's reign there in Amos 7, which I think gives us some pretty good indication about God's position, what God thinks about this sham, what God thinks as far as who is legitimate and who is illegitimate. He says, finally, one thing is for sure, God's going to bring Donald Trump back. It will happen at most in 4 years, yet I can't conceive of it being anywhere near that length of time. Because with radicals in power, how would we get the work done? When the devil is inspiring people, God's work is their number one target. And look how they're using their power over the media, technology companies, and social media to silence anyone who disagrees with them. He says, finally, they are clamping down on free speech in a shocking way. Like I said to you last week, we need to step back and consider that these are God's prophecies. Amos 7, it's clearly a prophecy. The book, the entire book is for the end time. It's for the last days. God's the one who uttered the prophecy. And like Paul said in Romans 3, let God be true and every man a liar. God is the God of truth. God is our rock. His prophecies are sure. It says in Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. It says a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I read to you those verses yesterday from Psalm 89 where Jeremiah there was lamenting what he thought was a failed prophecy. He just didn't understand the Tia Tefi solution. He said, God, what about your covenant? What about that unbreakable covenant? Read the entire Psalm, Psalm 89. It's a wonderful study, and it shows how even the prophet, even God's prophet at a time, didn't quite understand everything perfectly. God opened his mind to fill in additional details in due time. Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the eternal is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. God's truth endures. God's truth, it stays the course. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 160, the word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Thy word is true, I should say. Thy word is true from the very beginning. In the New Testament, it says that God is true in John 3 and verse 33. Listen to this one from 1 John 5. In verse 10, it says, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. So if you believe God, if you believe on the Son of God, as it says there, there's a witness in himself. And then finally, Titus 1 and verse 2. We go through this each year in epistles. It says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. This is a quote from the old correspondence course on this verse. It says, God is perfect, holy, and righteous character. God cannot lie because he has willed not to. Therefore, you can know God will perform that he what he promises, since he will not lie. It says God will never break a promise. We can have absolute confidence, positive faith, that God will always do whatever he has promised. We can have absolute confidence, total trust. That's what God is looking for. And that's the point that my father made when he took us through that study of Psalm 89 a few years ago. What God was trying to help Jeremiah see is that he needed to just totally and completely trust in God and his promises. And that's what we need as we continue to pray fervently for God to intervene on behalf of this church so that doors can swing open for the work, for God to intervene even in our nations during this time of affliction, this time that we're grieving, as Amos 6 brings out, grieving for the afflictions of our people. When we come back, we'll talk more. There's a few articles in the stack today about the goal, the objective here for the radical left, and how that they really want to use California, of all places, the state of California, as a model. And of course, this takes you right back to what my father was saying back in 2006 and 2007, how that Nancy Pelosi and others from California were wanting to bring the California values, quote unquote, into Washington, D.C. And that is happening. Now, that's where the vice president comes from, Kamala Harris. She comes out of the heart of California. Speaker of the House, Speaker Pelosi. I think Swalwell, too, if I'm not mistaken. Any event, we'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
We've had quite a few articles over the years. In fact, we've spent some time on this this program talking a lot about the curses on the state of California. My father got into this subject years ago. He talked about just some history that God's work has had with the state of California. Of course, Herbert Armstrong established God's headquarters in Pasadena, California, back in the 1940s, I believe, the early 1940s. And then, of course, the church, the Worldwide Church of God, came under attack in the late 1970s, an attack brought on by dissidents who had left the church. They went to the state authorities and got the whole state to come against the Church of God. And you can read about that history in some of the church literature and Stanley Rader's book, Against the Gates of Hell, and see how it played out in the end. At the time, boy, it didn't look so good for the Worldwide Church of God. As I was saying yesterday in my epistles class, we went through Romans 8. That verse where it says that all things work together for good. For good. For those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Let's just like my father said in the trumpet brief last night, look, let's let it play out. See how that this unfolds. Keep in mind Amos 7. Keep in mind 2 Kings 14. And we'll see. We'll see how that this unfolds. Well, when you look at the state of California and the radical left today, all of the they're just bombarded with curses in that state. It used to be the Golden State. It did. It used to be something that really we should have tried to make America like. If you go back to the 1950s and 60s, but certainly not today. And yet you've got these radical leftist Democrats. They're actually viewing California, the failed state of California, as a model. This is what we want to do for the entire United States. We want to make the United States into California, basically. This was in the LA Times, an article just this week. It says California is emerging as the de facto policy think tank of the Biden-Harris administration and of a Congress soon to be under Democratic control. That's rekindling past cliches about the state. Incubator of innovation, premier laboratory of democracy, land of big ideas. Even as it struggles with surging COVID-19 infections, a safety net frayed by the pandemic's toll, crushing housing costs and wildfires, all fueling an exodus of residents. People can't get out of California fast enough. And yet Kamala Harris and others, Nancy Pelosi, they want to make the United States into the state of California. That's what they're aiming to do. Make America California again. Let's make the slogan for them. Make America California again. It says here, there is no place the incoming administration is leaning on more heavily for inspiration in setting a progressive policy agenda. They look at the state. They look at Gavin Newsom. Never mind all the people signing that document, calling for him to be recalled. Hundreds of thousands, I forget how many have signed to this point. There's a lot of people in California that want to get rid of him because he's ruined the state. He's ruined the economy. It says here in this article, the incoming administration is embracing some of California's most pioneering initiatives, such as programs for rapidly decarbonizing the electricity grid and tuition-free college, as well as more obscure incremental policies. It says California's influence will be felt in how many Americans power their homes and cars, and even in how they save for retirement. So all of this land where it used to be so blessed, so many blessings, and yet now so many curses, and this is what Democrats want to bring all across the nation. Now, don't get me wrong, the entire nation is coming under curses because of our sins, because we've drifted so far from God. The affliction truly is bitter, as 2 Kings 14 brings out. God did intervene to just slow it all down, to stop Israel's name from being blotted out. But you see the executive actions, as I said in the first segment, you see what they're aiming to do all across the nation. There's another article in City Journal here again about how Joe Biden wishes to turn America into California, making America California. That's the title of the piece. It says in City Journal, Californians will run health and human services, the treasury, homeland security, and energy. Former California Senator Kamala Harris is vice president, and San Francisco's Nancy Pelosi rules the House of Representatives. Progressives like Laura Tyson and Lenny Mendonca, it says, see the shift as embracing California's distinctive approach to market capitalism. The Golden State, they say, can show the way forward toward a more socially just future. I mean, this is frightening, really. If you understand what's happening in California, that they would want this for the entire nation. It says here, California has its wonderful spots. This is City Journal. Great neighborhoods, beautiful vistas, amazing entrepreneurs, and great amenities. But it makes a poor advertisement for social democracy It suffers the nation's highest poverty rate and presents the widest gap between middle and upper middle income earners of any state. Minorities, notably African Americans and Latinos, do worse in California's metros than elsewhere in the country, according to a recent study that we conducted at the Urban Reform Institute. It says in Atlanta, African American median homes adjusted for costs are almost double those in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Latinos earn $20,000 more in Midwestern and Southern cities than in the enlightened metros along the California coast. Is this what's good for minorities? To bring this to Atlanta, to the Midwest? It says, in actual reductions of greenhouse gases, California is not the environmental icon that it pretends to be. If largely preventable wildfires are included, the state has increased its emissions. The smoldering fires, as one environmental analyst put it, dwarf the state's fossil fuel emissions. So it's just a disaster from top to bottom. And yet here are these radical leftists that say, hey, let's do it like California. Let's make the entire nation like California. Well, my father, as I said, this goes back to, I think, the January issue of 2007. I guess he wrote the article at the end of 2006. We posted it on the website. Those midterm elections, how it's a disaster. It's a disaster for the United States. And my father gives some of the history of Nancy Pelosi, where she comes from, and some of her bizarre and anti-God views. Again, never mind what she says about her prayers and her Bible study. Look at the actions. It says here, this is my father back in 2006, Democrats are excited by the fact that San Francisco values are now echoing through Washington's halls. Is this what America needs? Is this really what America needs? California values? It says San Francisco values will now permeate every major decision made by the American government. San Francisco is the homosexual capital of America. It's the seat of liberalism and one of the most morally and spiritually bankrupt cities in the country. Now a leader saturated in San Francisco values and beliefs is one of the most powerful politicians in the land. That's speaking of Speaker Pelosi back in 2006. You might have seen yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or over the weekend, where Joe Biden, he reversed that ban on transgenders in the military. Now you can have transgenders in the military. That's just from yesterday. That's within the first week. Going back to that piece from 2006. My father says, when San Francisco values dominated Roman society, the empire fell. History teaches that San Francisco values and beliefs do not work. People who fail to look to history do not learn the lessons that it furnishes. That election, the one back in 2006, as my father explained, it marked a monumental turn, and a bad one at that, for America. For the course that America was on. And we've had, as I said, we've touched on this subject many times at the Trumpet.com website. Richard found a couple of pieces that I included in my notes here. You can just look at the website on your own time. California is America's poverty capital. Here's the real reason why. That's from Andrew Miller just a couple of years ago. The poverty capital of the nation. And this is what some politicians want for the entire nation now. You see, again, the shock, the fake shock and just the disdain that they have for what happened on January the 6th. They don't care, though, about other cities being destroyed by leftist protesters and demonstrators. And then you look at what's happening to some of these big cities, particularly on the left coast, particularly up and down the coast of Washington, Oregon, and California. The tens of thousands of homeless people that are ruining cities. And there's no solution for it. Here is America's poverty capital. Another one we had, California's sexualized curriculum and the Equality Act. That's from a year ago. They are leading the way. California is, with San Francisco values. And that's what so many of these prominent politicians now, what they want to bring to the great Midwest, or to spread all across the country. I mentioned yesterday just about the COVID-19 and the response to it, and how so many of these leftist leaders, like Gavin Newsom in California, they've changed their tune just in the last few days. Just right after the inauguration, there was a piece in the American Institute for Economic Research. It says, for those of us inveighing against lockdowns for a full year, it's truly been a remarkable week. Restrictions are being loosened or are going away. We're finally getting some truth about the carnage, and we're even starting to see some elected officials being honest with us. And this really just shows how sinister this attack was. And it all coalesced together, using the China virus as a pretext to ruin the economy, to shut down cities, to anything to make Donald Trump look bad, anything to work against him. The fact that they've changed their tune on a dime, Newsom, Cuomo, Lightfoot, and on it goes. All of these left-wing leaders. As soon as the inauguration happens last Wednesday, then they start saying, you know what, we need to open up the economy. They would have never said that with Donald Trump in office. And it shows what they were willing to do in order to win politically. It's all part of the attack. Cuomo, as I said, he's reopening New York. You've got Newsom lifting the stay-at-home order, reopening restaurants and such. I saw this tweet yesterday. It says, California issued a stay-at-home order. It issued the stay-at-home order on December 3rd. L.A. County hospitalizations were at 2,572. Today, they lifted the order, and L.A. County hospitalizations were at almost 7,000. So basically almost three times worse than when they implemented that stay-at-home order. Now it's worse, much worse. If you just look at infections, just look at the stats they were bombarding us with. It was on the CNN tracker every day. Now it's worse, and yet they lift the ban, they lift the order, they reopen the restaurants. Governor Whitmer in Michigan, same thing. Same thing. We need to open Massachusetts. They're opening things back up. Washington, D.C., the mayor there, Bowser, she's opening the restaurants again. Maryland, they've got a governor that was right on board with the Biden team. Chicago's mayor, I mentioned her. You have all of these stories. The CNN tracker, that's now gone. The New York Times reporting the decline in cases. Yeah, everything's getting better now. Now that we've got a serious administration in there, and they're going to be working, of course, to give Joe Biden all the credit, as they themselves change the narrative, change the story. Fauci's out and about now. He's a hero. He's a hero. He's the highest paid man in government, by the way. Fauci. Dr. Fauci. He's getting a pretty good salary. He makes more than the president to get on the air and flip-flop, as he's done for the past year. Says one thing, then he says another, over and again. He was the one who downplayed the virus back in January and February of last year. He downplayed it. You've heard clips before. We've played it on this show about his position on face masks. He's just been all over the place. He was against the travel bans. Then he says later, the travel bans save lives. He said masks were unnecessary. Then he says, we need to wear two masks. This is the highest paid individual in government. Pretty amazing. Well, there's some other bits and pieces here, but I think we can take a quick break, and then I'll come back and conclude today's show with some email feedback. We've gotten quite a bit of it. in the last couple of weeks. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Sam sent me this this clip a little bit late in our preparation for the show. You guys have clip 7 now, the Tucker Carlson bit from last night. If you do, you can roll that now. If not, give me a nod in the other direction. Here's clip 7.
For the People Act is the foundation of the Democratic Party strategy to control the federal government well into your grandchildren's middle age. Take a look at it. Like most revolutionary documents, it's not a very exciting read. Nothing in it sounds especially radical at first until you think about it. The bill begins by declaring that, contrary to Article 1 of the United States Constitution, Congress has, quote, the ultimate supervisory power over federal elections. That's a big change. Under our current law, states get to decide how much fraud they will tolerate. Florida requires you to show photo identification in order to vote. California just wants you to vote Democrat. If H.R. 1 passes, all 50 states will be California. The entire country will have ballot harvesting and mail-in voting.
On this this legislation yesterday, this is what they want, as Tucker brought out last night on his show. They want ballot harvesting right across the nation. They want to make America California. And it's like my father says in that Trumpet brief, it's hard to see how that this can carry on for 4 years. 4 years of, I mean, the work would be certainly hamstrung by these radical leftists. And again, keep in mind the prophecies of God. Quite a few of our listeners, just speaking of feedback, it's been actually awesome just going through some of the emails that you have sent in, because you've helped fill out my own personal Bible study as I've gone through some of the scriptures that you've sent to me, and even used some of them on this this program. Here's an email that came in from one viewer. It says, thank you and your team on the Trumpet Daily for the great work that is done in exposing the truth about what's happening in America, and that God is going to temporarily save America under President Trump. And he refers to 2 Kings 14. It says, also, I'd like to thank the tech team for the great work that they've done to make the Trumpet Daily show available on the website. The level of faith, courage, and commitment that you and the rest of God's people have in God's work and declaring God's prophecies is amazing. It says, if there is anything new or specific that is happening in God's work that needs to be prayed for, please let us know. Once again, thank you for the great work. Another one here says, a most excellent Trumpet Daily as always. Now that we can view the TD live stream after it airs is just awesome. Thank you for all your hard work and your love for God. I watched snippets of the speech given by Mr. Biden yesterday. It was hard to watch from having Lady Gaga swooning And to have such disrespect for the inaugural speech just turned my stomach. It says, this current administration has desecrated what our Constitution stands for. I'm sure if the former presidents had witnessed this, they too would be highly upset. Well, I'm not so sure about that. We played those clips from three former presidents, and they were all there celebrating the Biden administration, celebrating this fake presidency, celebrating the fake inauguration, celebrating the fact that there's a peaceful transition, as if the last 4 years didn't happen, as if the Barack Obama administration wasn't constantly attacking President Trump and his allies for 4 years. And it continues with yet another sham impeachment. It's really despicable when you think of the actions, or lack thereof, of former presidents that should be speaking up for the Constitution, that should be speaking up for the rule of law. It says here, another one, great program, but wow, I remember that media swooning during the Obama years, and I did not miss it. Here we go again for now. It says, what a good point one listener made about Joe Biden having no guiding principles. In light of the clip you played where Biden told everyone that he'll fire them on the spot if they talk down to anyone, I can't help but bring up that video footage of Joe Biden talking about his trip to Ukraine. I think I might have paraphrased this on yesterday's program, but as this viewer brings out, it's the same spirit, the same spirit. They talk about unity. It says in the Bible that the devil is an angel of light. He says the right things, but then look at what they're doing. Another one says, thanks so much for today's Trumpet Daily. I needed to hear and read your comments on faith. It was a very timely message for me. We have to know that God will see us through all the testing, and everything is in his hands. Yes, indeed, it's in his hands. These are his prophecies, as I keep saying. From Missouri, it says, what a unique episode today with the cutaway to Donald Trump's remarks. I feel like you and the crew are just showing off now. That's from, I believe it was last Wednesday's show, when we actually cut away to some live comments from the president before he flew down to Florida, President Trump. It says, the program has surely adjusted quickly since the YouTube ban, which I consider a badge of honor. It just seems God is maximizing every second of every day to fulfill his will and ready his church for what is just ahead. That comes from Missouri. Another one here from Oklahoma. It says, this week saw events that I thought would never come to pass, but here we are. So I wanted to thank you for bringing to focus that these are God's prophecies, and it is he that that will fulfill them in his time and in his way. It's natural to perhaps be confused, or even some may get discouraged when things do not unfold in the way that we thought. However, I'm reminded of two scriptures, and he refers to Romans 3, which I read earlier, and then also those two verses in Psalm 89 about the covenant that God made with David, and Jeremiah's frustration and discouragement even over what looked like a broken promise. It wasn't. Another one here says, reading your article and the truth in it almost brought me to tears. Obviously, Satan has control of the minds of the millions of people who voted the Democrats into office. What is now already taking place in our government to undo all the good that Donald Trump accomplished is so frightening. They're destroying our country, and I pray to God all the time to save us. Another one here, this comes from Oklahoma. It says, a special thanks to you and your staff for the time and effort invested to produce and air the Trumpet Daily each day. It says, your coverage of current events coupled with Bible study topics and prophecies helps me focus and prioritize the day-to-day news coverage, and to see beyond the lies, the deceit, and the satanic spin. It says, well, let's see, further on, it writes, as you mentioned recently, There was a similar attack or affliction suffered by God's church. It's referring to the affliction, the bitter affliction from 2 Kings 14, and the parallels with what happened to God's church following the death of Mr. Armstrong. He says here, I remember experiencing a similar form of depression and sense of hopelessness because of the lies and hypocrisy. I remember the attack on my faith, my hope in God, when I was told that it was no longer God's will to heal and that his promises, along with the special sacrifice and suffering of Jesus Christ, was no longer a doctrine of the church. Much like today, I remember my head spinning because I couldn't believe what I was seeing and hearing. I remember talking about Mr. Armstrong and being told that he was dead and the church needed to move on. Mr. Armstrong was being blotted out. It says, I remember being disfellowshipped in my own home as a result and closing the door behind the ministry as they left. I remember the pit in my stomach as I didn't know where I would go or what I would do. It says, I remember that bitter affliction. I remember immediately going into my room and getting on my knees and finding peace, assurance, and rest despite the physical circumstances. It says, God's love and mercy is unmatched when we turn to him and rely upon him. Much like today, God revealed his prophecies and promises of deliverance to his prophet, and that man shared that hope with me and so many others. Where would we be without God's prophet and those promises? It says God's work continues to share the same hope today. Thank you for your part during these critical times. So that's just a few of the emails that have been coming in over the last several weeks. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can write us at td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.